Welcome back, folks. This is Mark Steiner. Good to have you with us here on The Mark Steiner Show. I remind you, The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland State Education Association. From school funding to testing, you can learn more about the important issues affecting Maryland students, parents, and schools by visiting the Maryland State Education Association's website at MarylandEducators.org. That's MarylandEducators.org. Or at SteinerShow.org is the Maryland State Education Association's banner. We are now joined by Elizabeth Sachs, who is Executive Director of the Jobs Opportunities Task Force, and Elizabeth Alex Regional, who is Director of CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates, who will be taking part in a forum this weekend by the Open Society Institute, the Job Solutions Summit that's leading up to their big summit on December the 10th we'll be talking about. And how do I do this differently? Elizabeth and Liz? Are you Elizabeth or are you Liz?
I'm Elizabeth.
And you're Liz, right, Liz?
I can be Liz, and just to clarify, I'm Ms. CASA, not Court-Appointed Special Advocates, but CASA, the Immigrant Rights and Workforce Organization.
So join us here at 410-319-8888. You can also reach us by email to talk@steinershow.org, and you can also tweet us at Mark Steiner. But Elizabeth Sachs, talk a bit about this summit coming up this weekend and what it's leading up to for just overall information.
Okay. So this Saturday is a forum on jobs and economic development in Baltimore City. It will be 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the War Memorial Building. It is free. And the focus will be looking at economic development, employer engagement, job training, and generally how to help more city residents get jobs in Baltimore. The forum leads up to a bigger summit, which will be December 10th, an all-day summit looking at a range of issues, all designed to provide a blueprint to both the new mayor and the new city council that will take office in January.
So let's talk a bit about what you want to talk about this coming weekend. And I think it's important. One of the things that Eddie Conway said at the end of last segment leading up to the public police reform meeting that's taking place tonight at the Real News down on Holiday Street was that when we talked about dislocation, anarchy, crimes, and drugs in the communities, in our poorest communities, one of those things, Elizabeth, Alex, is that is your last name now Regional, is that right?
Correct.
Right. So I just want to make sure that was right on my sheet and I didn't call you out incorrectly. But is jobs. And it seems to me that one of the things that always happens, Liz, is that when we talk about development, the last thing we ever think about, it seems to me, is jobs for the poor working class segments of our society, which are in many ways the majority of the city, that we never think about. We only think about the high-tech end of jobs and not jobs for people who needed to really transform Baltimore. That, to me, is always one of the problems in all these discussions.
And those are, I think, some of the primary linkages that we're trying to make in this conversation on Saturday. And to be clear, you know, as Elizabeth mentioned, this is an opportunity for community members to come forward and share their ideas. This will all lead into a larger summit on the 10th in December after we have a new mayor and city council to really give them that guiding blueprint. But I think two of the issues that you just mentioned are critical and are an area that we're hoping to get a lot of rich community discussion on Saturday. And those are the interface between jobs and development to really put forward a plan for in Baltimore. How do we think those things go together when we have community development projects? How do we make sure that enough of those jobs are going to Baltimore City residents, both the temporary jobs in creating the community development project, but also the permanent jobs that come out of that development? And how do we make sure that they're good jobs that are going to provide a family-sustaining wage for Baltimore City residents? So I think that's one big piece, to see what are the linkages and what can our new city government do to ensure that those linkages are in place and that they actually work for the people of Baltimore. And then I think the second is to really frame all of our, as we vision out, when we talk about jobs, when we talk about workforce development, we talk about training, how do we put a racial equity lens on this? So look at, are we creating who's getting the good jobs and why, and what can we do to sort of put programs and processes in place to ensure that the people that most need those jobs are the people that are getting them. And I think that's something that we haven't as a city really looked at from mm-hmm. that perspective before. And so I'm excited about this conversation on Saturday.
So I wonder how you, and let's talk a bit about how we get that conversation started, Elizabeth, here in studio, Elizabeth Sachs. I mean, it seems we lost that opportunity in many ways, at least from my perspective analysis, lost that opportunity when we looked at Port Covington, which has done nothing to ensure that people in these in our communities are actually going to get the jobs that are needed that are going to pay a decent wage. So how do you change that conversation? How do we ensure that that happens? I mean, what does it mean to have a job summit and really create, not that Baltimore City in itself can do this all alone, but we are the front line.
So I think one of the things in doing this work is that we have to make sure community voices are heard when you're designing training, when you're making decisions about funding. I mean, a lot of money comes into the city, whether it's from the state government, the federal government, or these private developments. But often the people who are most in need of access to the training are not part of the planning process. Who's going to get access to the training slots? Who's going to be in line to get the jobs? And part of Saturday's goal is to get those voices in a room, vote on some recommendations that will change in part the way decisions are made and the way projects like Port Covington and others that came before it actually operate. So we're really trying to change the way voices are heard and programs are designed, and that starts on Saturday.
So, but and the other Elizabeth. So the question is, you know, I don't mean to have this sound jaundiced, but just my kind of look at this over the last years and years of working in the city in the last 23 years in the air here, is that how do we make the leap from just having voices heard to actually implementing some change that means something? I mean, again, I use Port Covington as an example. We spent these months fighting about Port Covington, and everything that it was in that compact that really had to do with ensuring that poor people in the city end up with job training, end up with union jobs, end up with jobs that are secure, that change the nature of how you develop, didn't happen. So, I mean, so what does it mean to go beyond voices into something concrete?
I think that's the million-dollar question, right? I think part of the timing on this is extremely important, right? Because for the first time in, since I can remember, in Baltimore, right, we're going to have significant turnover and a whole generation of new, motivated, talented, intelligent council members and a brand new mayor who has a lot of experience and a lot of economic development experience as well. So I think we have a really interesting opportunity in our new mayor and city council, but it's only as good as the directive that they get from the community and the plan that they get from the community. So that's part of the idea here, is to really put a strong and coordinated effort in place that takes into account the needs of employers, but also really puts at the forefront the needs and interests of Baltimore workers. And how do we, but that is a million-dollar question, right? How, it's all great to make a plan. How do we make sure it gets implemented? And I think really the timing of this is part of the answer, right, that we put this at the forefront as one of the primary issues that our new council and mayor will need to tackle. And we give them a blueprint for how to do it.
And I think it's too soon to tell about Port Covington. I don't think the debate over the TIF was the end of the discussion about how the money and how the opportunities are going to be deployed. I think voices are heard at the most basic local level, and part of the goal is to have enough leadership and coordination to make sure they connect up. We at JOTF run a job training program in construction, and we are in our space, and we have great outcomes, and we work with community groups, but we only work with who we know. What we need is a platform, both with leadership at the city level and perhaps even some of the private developers, to bring more smaller organizations together, find out what their training needs are, make sure they connect with employers, and give us both funding and the space to connect. When we're all isolated, we get this fragmented system where not enough people have access.
I mean, I think of a person who's on the show, has been on the show often, and that's Delegate Corey McRae, who is a member of the Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. And one of the stories he always tells is that he was a kid on the corner. And if it wasn't for someone getting him into the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers training program to train him to be an electrician, he would never have gone from a street corner kid to a stable a life with a family and his children, wife and children, owning a home, owning another home that he rents out, and being able to kind of build a life in this city. So that's what I'm talking about, I think, is that it doesn't seem that we have real concrete thoughts about how to make that happen. So the Corey McCray is not just a story to tell, mm-hmm. but that the reality is that we're changing the nature of our city by supporting the unions in terms of our development, who gets to build these places, who's part of that process, what kind of jobs it gets when it's done. That's what I mean. You know, I mean, or even to things like, it might sound absurd, but it's not. I was at about months ago, I was at the sushi bar in the Inner Harbor, and I looked around, and there was not one black face in that restaurant waiting on tables or cutting up the sushi, making a living. That's what I'm talking about. How do you change that? That's what has to be changed, it seems to me. Either Elizabeth. I mean, Elizabeth, on the phone, go ahead. I'm not confronting you all as saying this is. I'm just saying, I'm just being a little pushy because it, to me, this is so important in terms of where the city goes and the people of the city and loving the people in the city and making sure that we can change the way things are done in this town.
So in part, I think what we're talking about is bridging some divides, and we hope that that will be accomplished in part by the conversation on Saturday, particularly looking through the lens of racial equity and economic inclusion. But when I say divide, it's even just between employers and where they recruit and those that need the jobs and where the training programs are. Now, I can only speak from the construction industry. We mm-hmm. do training much like, you know, you just described, and we see the individual stories of success where, but for our program and the help we provide in terms of getting a car and getting a driver's license and dealing with child support debt. But we're small. We are proud.
That last part's a huge piece.
And we're working on that too. But we're proud of what we do. But we need both the leadership and the resources to scale it up. There are a lot of promising projects in this city, and they're very much at the most local level. What we need from both the new city government as well as some of the, you know, private development is let us grow. We know what works, but we do it in such isolation. And then I think you'll see some opportunities open up.
Mark, you also raised one important point, is just looking at the next generation coming up, and I think that's another global lens that we're trying to look at on Saturday, is to really look specifically at what are the needs and opportunities for younger workers, for, you know, kids who are still in school, and getting them onto that track towards a stable life. You mentioned Delia McRae in his story, right? How do we recreate that story for young people in Baltimore, but then how do we also deal with and provide opportunities for this larger group of adults who have different needs? Maybe we're talking about reentry issues, maybe we're talking about people who have been laid off from other jobs, and how do we provide retraining opportunities for folks to be able to enter the workforce from a different angle? And so I think those two sort of angles of how we look at job training and job placement are super important. And then we add on to that this inclusion lens around racial equity, but also taking into consideration the differences and the different needs and opportunities for both younger workers and older workers, to make sure that all of the opportunities in Baltimore there's a place for everyone at the table.
So, folks, let me just 410-319-8888. Do join us here with your thoughts as we talk about this job summit coming up this Saturday, leading up to the larger summit coming up on December the 10th. 410-319-8888. Tweet us at Mark Steiner or send an email to talk@steinershow.org. Sorry, you were about to say something, Elizabeth.
Well, I do think that's one of the unique things about this forum on Saturday, because it is designed to hear from people who may not have weighed in on their experiences in, let's say, going to get into a training program, or even once they were in a job, why it didn't work out. We really want to hear what's worked and what hasn't. Where has the system that we know failed, so that we can make recommendations that get at concrete fixes? Too often, we're in a policy world, we get funding from the government, and we have to follow a lot of rules, and we don't talk to those who are most impacted by what these programs and funding streams are designed to do. So Saturday is a really different kind of conversation that will then lead up to the summit in December.
So Saturday, we'll do it again before we break here in about 5-10 minutes. But again, do people have to sign up? Can they just show up?
They can show up. We prefer if they register, and I'm gonna get you that link right now. Here it is. We would prefer if you register at solutionssummitbaltimore.org. Again, it's a free event Saturday morning, 9 to 12:30. There will be a format that allows for discussion and then reconvening for voting on specific recommendations. This is a very hands-on opportunity for individuals to talk about and then promote the pieces of the system that haven't worked and make sure that we get it right this next time.
So, folks, again, do join us at 410-319-8888. So what do you expect, Elizabeth, on the phone? What are you expecting in terms of coming out of this summit? I mean, what exactly are you all looking for? What do you want to walk away with in this thing?
So I think from the conversation on Saturday, folks who are there in person will have the opportunity to vote on 10 recommendations to sort of whittle down our big wish list of what we would like to see to figure out what are the things, the top 10 recommendations that we should be making to our new elected officials. And so out of that list, that'll come to this larger summit on December 10th, where our new mayor and new city council will sort of have this opportunity to then present these recommendations to our new elected officials. And hopefully they will take that into account and really take that as a mandate to make those things happen.
And who's going to be on? You have a panel? How's this actually going to operate on Saturday? Is there a panel, audience? I mean, how long does it take? How long are you going to be there? And what exactly, how is it going to function?
So it'll start with several speakers, including BGE President Calvin Butler, former Treasury official Mary Miller from the Obama administration, and then the director of the Mayor's Office of Employment Development, Jason Perkins Cohen. But then there's a format where we will break out into group discussion. The discussions will be facilitated by individuals who have some basic knowledge of the subject area, but really try to draw out from the groups what it is that you want to see work differently and where have opportunities been missed in your view. Then the group will reconvene towards the end and literally cast votes on a series of recommendations so that, as Liz said, they'll be whittled down and those will feed up into the other summit. So this is not just a chance to speak out and have your day, if you will. It's a chance to really coalesce with others and come up with something agreed upon that will be concrete for the new leadership in Baltimore to get their hands around.
So who do you want to have in the audience?
I think it's going to be critical that we have everybody in the audience, right? That we have workers in Baltimore who are directly affected by this issue sitting there at the table, along with employers or people that work in job training programs or police programs. We need everybody at the table in order to make this work. But I think from my perspective, the most critical voice at that table are workers, and particularly workers who have struggled in the past or who have faced different systemic barriers to reach the employment situation that they would like.
I just had a text here from Caprice, who wrote in a similar story. Our electricians to share, based on a conversation, refrigerator repairman who assessed fridge a couple of months ago. Solutions are at hand. They just need to be scaled up and out. Right. I mean, there are a lot of potential jobs here. Also, is getting people to jobs, which has to do with transportation, whether it's refrigeration mechanics, people who do HVAC. I mean, there's so many possibilities for young people to get and older people to get work here that we're not focusing on. I think that a lot has to do with the city really making an effort to make the outreach with organizations that can supply the training to get people to the work they need to start transforming people's lives and our communities. I mean, that really is where the bottom line to me.
And then, as we sort of said already, once people are in a training program and sort of figuring out what their career track might be, what other, we call them barriers, but what other things get in the way? Whether it's a transportation issue, a childcare issue, and if something has worked, if you've had the opportunity to get a car through Vehicles for Change, tell us. If, you know, you think your bus route needs to change, tell us. We always, even in the training program we run, hear about other small things that make a huge difference if we can fix them for folks who are trying just to get to work. So those kinds of details are very important to Saturday's discussion.
So before we have to break here, so again, what time and where on Saturday, and how to be in touch?
9 a.m. at the War Memorial Building. And
till when?
9 to 12:30.
Okay.
War Memorial Building. It is free. And please register at Solutions Summit Baltimore. That's one word, solutionssummitbaltimore.org.
And if you're not digitally friendly, you can just show up.
You can show up.
Okay, Jessica. A lot of folks don't have access to that or will even do that. So it's good to have you both here. Elizabeth Sachs is the Executive Director of the Jobs Opportunity Task Force. Elizabeth Alex Regional is the Director of CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates, who are part of this OSI meeting taking place this Saturday at 9 a.m. at the War Memorial Plaza on Jobs, leading up to the large summit on December the 10th. So thank you both so much for taking your time today.
Thank you, Mark.
Good to have you all here. On our way to a very quick break before we talk to Joe Giordano in the City Paper, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ Baltimore's Credit Union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ Baltimore's Credit Union is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it's a credit union, not just a bank. Belongs to you. Money comes back in the end. And they're celebrating their 80th anniversary. More information at www.mecu.com or at steinershow.org is MeQ Baltimore Credit Union's banner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.